Welcome to this special edition of the Bible Answer Man broadcast, hosted by Hank Hanegraaff. Today, Hank welcomes New York Times bestselling author Lee Strobel back to the studio to discuss Lee's extraordinary new resource, the Case for Christ Study Bible. Unlike other Bibles, the Case for Christ Study Bible does not tell you what you should or should not believe. Rather, its goal is to help you solidify your confidence in the Bible through well-researched information that will allow you to discover the truth for yourself. To join in the conversation, call toll-free 888-ASK-HANK. That's 888-275-4265. And now with his guest, Lee Strobel, here is Hank Hanegraaff.
Thank you very much, Randy. The Case for Christ Study Bible, Investigating the Evidence for Belief, available through the Ministry of the Christian Research Institute. You can start ordering right away. This is a resource you'll want to have. You can order via the mail at Post Office Box 8500, Charlotte, North Carolina, zip code 28271, in a safe, secure fashion on the World Wide Web at equip.org. And when you talk to our resource consultants at 888-7000-CRI. In studio with me, Lee Strobel, and we are excited not only to talk about the Case for Christ Study Bible, but to talk to you as well. We are going to open the phone lines sometime during the broadcast, so you can give us a call at 888-ASK-HANK, which translates to 888-275-4265. Lee, it is great to have you in studio.
Oh, it's so great to be here, Hank. I don't get to Charlotte that often, so what a wonderful opportunity to be able to sit down with you and your great staff and spend some time. And I just always enjoy stopping by here.
And we had a great time in Tampa Bay, Florida, yeah, at the Back to the Bible, Battle for the Bible conference.
I really hope, Hank, that that's the first of many that you're going to be doing, because I think it is so important in this culture of increased hostility and opposition to Scripture that you put together a conference that defended the God's Word and presented evidence for why it is that we believe what we believe. I think the people who went there walked away equipped, to use the one of the acronyms, your equip.org website. They felt equipped, they felt encouraged, they felt prepared, as 1 Peter 3:15 says, to be able to defend why they believe what they believe. I'm just seeing this increased hostility. I know when I was an atheist, I was angry. And I have my own reasons for that, being a hedonist, always after the perfect high or the perfect pleasure experience to keep me happy, and everything disappointed ultimately. And so I had a lot of anger and rage inside of me. And I know why I was angry before I found Christ and found fulfillment through Him. But I'm just finding a lot of these people have a lot of horsepower behind their attacks, and driven not always by intellectual reasoning, but by emotional issues and other things that I think has just turned the knob, the volume, higher and higher. And, you know, you look at the study that was done by Harvard University and George Mason University recently that showed that the percentage of atheists among college professors is three times the national average. So you were sending our children into cultures where there's increased skepticism and doubt about God's Word. So I hope that that's the first of, I know you produce many resources to help people understand why we believe what we believe, but that conference was just a wonderful experience, and I hope it's the first of many that you do. It's needed, and I think it's the kind of thing where people who came are probably saying, oh man, I wish I'd brought my teenage son. Oh man, I wish I brought my brother. Oh man, there's so many people who needed to hear it. And I think consequently future ones will even have more exposure, because people are going to realize this is a great place to go to get equipped.
And that is the goal. We are looking at the fact that the problem in the evangelical Christian church, not a problem, but the problem, yeah, is biblical illiteracy.
Yeah.
Front page USA Today, an article about how the millennial generation, yeah, is walking away from the church.
Yeah.
70% no longer believe that Jesus Christ is the only way. 67% do not read the Bible. 65% do not attend church.
Yeah.
So we're tackling the problem of biblical illiteracy, and one of the ways to do that is to put resources into people's hands by which they can learn to read the Bible for all it's worth. One of those resources, of course, is the reason for having you on the broadcast. It is the Case for Christ Study Bible, and I want you to describe to people what they get when they get this Bible, because it not only combines information available through resources in your Case for Christ series, but also notes throughout the Bible.
Yeah, it's the entire NIV translation of the Old Testament and the New Testament with hundreds of articles and notes that seek to illuminate the text where there's ambiguity, but also to give reasons why and how this makes sense ultimately. And so it draws upon material that I've done in my various books, but other material as well. This took almost 2 years for us to put together. I supervise a team of people, and the whole idea is exactly what you'd said earlier, which is how can we help equip people? How can we give them the Word of God, but also some helps along the way help them understand not just perhaps the text a little better, but also the reasoning behind it and some of the extra-biblical material that illuminates and amplifies and corroborates what the Bible says. So that was the goal. And one thing that's been gratifying is people say, wow, I didn't realize there's so much stuff in here. It really is a wealth of material. And my hope is that people will not only use it themselves to in their devotionals and in their research personally, but, you know, graduation's coming up, and as we just talked about, we got kids going off to college. We got kids with questions and issues. We have a whole new generation that has doubts and is squishy about what they believe. So this could be kind of a graduation present that you could give folks, young people, as they go to high school or college, to prepare them. So they've always got something there, and they've got a resource they can go back to when they have a question, then a passage is confusing or they're wondering what is the extra biblical evidence. For instance, you read in Scripture that Jesus in the Garden of Gethsemane sweat blood. And you read that in the text, you go, well, I remember when I was an atheist and I'm kind of researching it, and I read that, I go, oh, give me a break. That's just the writer. That's just an example of why this is legendary. Yeah, that's just a way for the writer to emphasize how stressed out Jesus was by what he thought was coming and so forth. And yet, as you read the note that we provide there, there is a known medical condition called hematidrosis, which, as I interviewed Dr. Alexander Metherell, who's one of the experts on the crucifixion, and he talks about how, you know, when individuals are under extreme stress, this can cause the capillaries to break down, the sweat glands, and a certain amount of blood gets mixed with the sweat. And yes, you can sweat blood in a sense. So that kind of note, I hope, can be, oh, okay, this is not an example of legend. Or you look at things like, Jesus dying on the cross, and you go, well, you know, we've got this attestation in Scripture that Jesus died on the cross, as opposed to what the Quran says. And yet, you know, it's nice to know that we have five ancient sources outside the Bible that also corroborate that Jesus died on the cross. We've got Josephus, we've got Tacitus, even the Jewish Talmud admits that Jesus died on the cross, Lucian and Maribar Serapion. So we've got some extra biblical evidence to support what the Bible is saying. So it's not that we doubt what the Bible says, but sometimes it's helpful to see the corroboration, to see the evidence outside the Bible that dovetails with it and corroborates it. Archaeological discoveries, and you speak so powerfully about this. You gave a great talk at the conference on the Bible, and one of your points was how many times archaeology has confirmed and corroborated what the Bible says. Now, does that prove that Jesus is the Son of God? No, but what it does say is, you know what, the writers of Scripture, here's the deal. So often, archaeology confirms the incidental details. And the point is this. If over and over and over and over again, archaeology confirms these incidental details. So in other words, the writers were so careful to get these incidental details right, why would we think they would be any less careful about the things that are really important, like the resurrection of Jesus? So archaeology does have a bearing. And, you know, when I was a skeptic and You know, you'd read in Luke, this guy, he calls a tetrarch of an area called Abilene, Licinius. And I thought, well, that's not right. And I look it up. Well, Licinius was a king, and he died 50 years before that. Well, that just shows Luke's an idiot. He's a bad historian, doesn't know what he's doing. And then I find out that not long ago, 14 miles west, northwest of Damascus, in an area that had been called Abilene in the first century, lo and behold, they find an inscription to Licinius, the tetrarch of Abilene. Turns out there were two Licinii, or whatever the plural of Licinius is. So again, archaeology showed us that Luke was a careful historian, and that gives you confidence that, you know what, if he was careful about these incidental details, it really don't matter that much, then why would he be less careful about the important stuff? So my hope is that this resource will be an encouragement to people. Like you, I get letters from young people saying, hey, I'm reading this stuff by Bart Ehrman. I'm reading this stuff by these atheists. Now I have questions. Now I have doubts. I've lost my faith. I'm losing my faith. I don't know what to do. I know what that feels like, because after I became a Christian, I don't know if I've ever told this story before on your show, but after I became a Christian, I was a volunteer at my church, and my role was, when people would come to a church service, if they had a question, they would fill out a little card and put it in the offering plate, and a part of a volunteer team would call them and try to answer their question. Well, I was part of that team. So one day I got a card from a 12-year-old girl, and she said, I just want to know more about Jesus. I thought, oh, this is so cute. So I call her up, and she says, yeah, I live with my dad. Would you please come over with your wife and have dinner with us and just tell us about Jesus? I said, oh, absolutely. Are you kidding me? This is fantastic. I got off the phone. I said to Leslie, this is great. How cute is this? What a wonderful opportunity. So we drive over to the house. We walk in the front door as her father opens the door, and I see sitting on the coffee table a stack of books, heavyweight tomes attacking Christianity. Turned out he was a scientist who had spent the last several years of his life reading books attacking the Christian faith. We sat down over pizza and soft drinks, and we talked till midnight. And Hank, he peppered me with the toughest objections to the Bible and to Jesus that I'd ever heard at that point in my life. Things that I hadn't investigated necessarily when I was seeking and checking things out. And I had this experience, I call it spiritual vertigo. And what I mean by that is that sick feeling you get in your stomach. It's like this disorientation and confusion and this sickness you feel when somebody challenges the core of your faith and you don't know what to say. And so that's what's happening as people read these atheist books. They get challenged with these questions. They feel the spiritual vertigo. Well, the good news in my case was at the end of the evening, I said, sir, you've raised some very provocative and controversial and insightful questions. And honestly, I don't know the answers to most of them. But I just don't think you're the first person in 2,000 years who's going to destroy Christianity. So let me get the answers. So I went out, Hank, and I researched every single issue he had raised. And there was a solid answer for every single issue. And I was able to go back to him and give him that evidence, and I was able to walk away from that experience with two things happening to me. Number one, my faith was strengthened, and I felt more confident, and I felt more and affirmed that, you know what, this does make sense. But secondly, and equally important, I was better equipped. I was better prepared, because now when those questions come up, and those same questions he raised that night, they still come up. Now I'm prepared. Now I know what to say. And so I wanted to create a resource through the Case for Christ Study Bible that would sort of take that kind of experience and information I've gleaned over the years and see if I could put it in a format that would be helpful to people. So when they experience spiritual vertigo, or as an antidote or as an immunization against that, a resource that would be easy to use and pretty comprehensive and readable, helpful, doesn't require a seminary degree to understand. So that was the goal in doing it.
And the Case for Christ Study Bible tackles the three great apologetic issues: the issue of origins, how one views their origins inevitably determines how they live their life. If you believe you're a function of random chance, you'll live your life by a different standard than if you know you're created in the image of God and accountable to Him. It deals with the issue of the resurrection, demonstrating that Jesus Christ rose from the dead. And that is not only a historical fact, but it's the hope of believers.
Yep.
Because He rose, we too will rise. And it deals with the case for the Bible. So within the case for Christ study Bible, you have the case for the Bible,
right,
demonstrating that the Bible is divine as opposed to merely human in origin. One of the best apologetic tools you could possibly put in your library, available through the Ministry of the Christian Research Institute. You can order online at equip.org in a safe, secure fashion. You can order via the mail, Post Office Box 8500, Charlotte, North Carolina, zip code 28271. And as always, you can speak directly to our resource consultants at 888-7000 CRI. Again, the Case for Christ Study Bible, investigating the evidence for belief, available through the Ministry of the Christian Research Institute. This is not just for you. This is a great way to give a gift that will keep on giving. Do you have a skeptic in your life that you want to bless? Here's a great gift to give them. I mean, imagine giving this to someone who's a skeptic. I mean, it's an incredible gift to give. Give this to your family members, to your friends. Maybe there's someone within your community that you know that needs the Case for Christ Study Bible. If you don't have a copy yourself, of course, you want to do that as well. Again, order online at equip.org. We'll be right back with Lee Strobel, your questions, and a whole lot of fun as we talk about the evidence, the case for Christ, the case for Christianity. We'll be right back.
Thanks for tuning into this special edition of the Bible Answer Man broadcast. Using a journalist's precision in gathering and presenting evidence, the Case for Christ Study Bible is an engaging, informative resource that motivates seekers and skeptics, as well as longtime Christians, to investigate for themselves the Bible's most compelling claims, the existence of a compassionate God and the promise of eternal life through His Son, Jesus. To order your copy of the Case for Christ Study Bible or any of Lee Strobel's other books or DVDs, call toll-free 888-7000-CRI or go online to equip.org. That's equip.org. Don't go away. We'll be right back after this short break. Master the defense of the resurrection in minutes and remember it for a lifetime with the latest release of the Hankrenem series, Resurrection, Memorable Keys to the Greatest Feat in History. The resurrection of Jesus Christ is not merely important to the historic Christian faith. Without it, there would be no Christianity. To make the facts of the resurrection memorable and easily referenced, Hank has developed the Hankrenem Feat and created the second in a series of specifically designed flip charts. Laminated, tabbed, and sized to fit in your pocket, this incredible tool will allow you to defend the truth of the resurrection on a moment's notice. Available for your gift to the Christian Research Institute when you call 888-7000-CRI or when you go online to equip.org. For centuries, two questions have challenged the Christian faith.
In a world with thousands of religions and gods, why is Jesus the only way to salvation? How could a loving God, the God of the Bible, create a world filled with evil and suffering?
Based on Lee Strobel's best-selling book, The Case for Faith examines two of the biggest objections to Christianity: emotional barriers to faith that have challenged believers and skeptics alike. The Case for Faith DVD also includes more than an hour of specially produced bonus features that will help you face the toughest questions about God and the Christian life. Order the Case for Faith, the Case for Christ, and the Case for a Creator DVDs in the Lee Strobel 3-disc collection by calling 888-7000-274 or online at equip.org. That's equip.org. In Ephesians 5:15-16, Paul admonishes believers to be very careful how you live, making the most of every opportunity because the days are evil. Today, evidence abounds of the growing evil in our modern-day culture. False teachers and New Age cults continue to seduce millions with their empty promises and false philosophy. Subscribers to the Christian Research Journal know they will regularly receive timely information on the latest religious trends, as well as practical tips on dealing with the challenges to the Christian faith in a fallen world. To defend your faith with passion and precision, you need to subscribe to the Christian Research Journal. To subscribe now, go to www.equip.org. That's equip.org. Or call us at 888-7000-274. That's 888-7000-274. Don't wait. Start your subscription today. Drawn from Lee Strobel's own experiences as a former atheist and featuring his journalistic style from his days as an investigative reporter with the Chicago Tribune, the notes and articles throughout the Case for Christ Study Bible are designed to motivate you to investigate the Bible's claims for yourself. Whether you're a Christian seeking encouragement in your faith and knowledge about who God is, or a seeker or skeptic searching for answers, you will benefit from Lee's own extensive search for the truth. Available now through the Christian Research Institute, you can order online at equip.org or call our resource consultants at 888-7000-CRI. Well, now let's get back to Hank Hanegraaff and his guest, Lee Strobel.
Thank you very much, Randy. In studio with Lee Strobel, and of course, he's one of my favorite apologists because he's one of a new breed of apologists who is far more interested in winning people than winning arguments. I want you to talk about that for just a moment, Lee, because the goal, not only with the Case for Christ Study Bible, but in general, is not to simply have the answers to arguments, but to be able to use your well-reasoned answer as a springboard or an opportunity to share the grace and truth and love that only Jesus Christ can bring to the human heart.
You know, Hank, that's what I love about you and your ministry. You're about apologetics, which is giving a defense for the faith, but ultimately you're about evangelism. You're about winning people for Christ. And, you know, too often, I'm afraid, people who kind of get into apologetics and they become aficionados, and so when they study and they learn, and they, all of a sudden they kind of withdraw into this little world of academia, and they're reading books and underlying things and arguing about these arcane, what about this, what about this nuance here and there. You know what? In the meantime, there's a world going to hell. And I see apologetics as the handmaiden for evangelism, as Luther said. And it needs to be a tool that we use in furtherance of presenting the gospel and defending the gospel and leading people into relationship with Jesus Christ. The older I get, Hank, and, you know, both you and I are, we're getting old. I just realized this the other day. Now, you're older than me by 18 months, but you're going
to
hit...
We've already talked about that privately. Yeah. You didn't have to bring it up publicly.
You're going to hit a landmark pretty soon. I won't say what it is. But, you know, when you get older, and I've had some health scares along the way, you are reminded of your own mortality. In fact, I was mentioned to you earlier when I got a particular... a health scare, I called up a friend of mine, J.P. Moreland, the philosopher, and I said, hey, J.P., you know, I just kind of got the kind of scary news about my health, and hoping he just kind of console me, you know, and J.P. says, well, Lee, you know, sometimes it's good to get reminded of our mortality. And I thought, yeah, thanks, J.P., appreciate that. But he's right, and the older we get, I think time is more precious, and you know, the other thing, becoming a grandfather, and seeing this next generation come alive. My grandkids, I have two daughters and granddaughters and another grandchild on the way, just reminds me these are souls that are precious to the Father, and they need to know Jesus Christ, and they need salvation, they need eternal life, they need to have a relationship with God that is rich and real, that's going to be the center of their life, that's going to give them their life meaning and purpose and fulfillment and joy. And all these things have sort of redoubled my efforts to share Christ with people. I'm not so interested in arguing the nuances of this, that, or the other thing. I'm interested in defending the core of the gospel. I mean, you start attacking that, and I'm going to be like, as Sarah Palin says, a mother bear coming after you, you know. There's peripheral issues that, you know, we won't know for sure till we get to heaven. And if they're not central, then I want to spend my time going to those people who don't want to argue, but they're spiritually curious. They're honestly interested in getting answers, and those are the people in whom I'm investing my time these days. And I'll tell you, I've become an addict. I become an addict of seeing changed lives. I mean, I can't get enough of it. I see people's lives transform. When I see Christopher Hitchens say that Christianity poisons everything, I say, have you ever been part of a vibrant local church? Have you ever seen lives changed 180 degrees? I mean, I've interviewed people like William Moore, who was a murderer on death row in Georgia, who killed a man, an elderly man, for a pittance of money in a robbery as a young man, sentenced to death in the electric chair. And somebody sent two Christians to witness to him in jail. He received Christ. He was baptized in a rusty bathtub in prison. His life, Hank, was absolutely transformed. He couldn't get enough of the Word of God. He took 32 correspondence courses from Bible schools. He became the Mother Teresa of death row. He led to Christ so many inmates. Local churches in Georgia were sending people to him on death row for counseling because he had such insight and such love and such warmth. And in the only example I can find in American history, a confessed, admitted murderer like William Moore, because of his changed life, the parole and pardon board said, we are going to set you free. And they let him go. And he is now an elder of a church in Rome, Georgia. I spent time in his home, and I looked at him, and I said, William Moore, tell me what changed you. And he said, Lee, you know what changed me. I said, no. I want to hear it from your lips. I said, was it transcendental meditation? No, Lee, it wasn't that. Was it drugs? Was it psychotic drug or, you know, psychological drugs they gave you? No, it wasn't that. Was it counseling? No. I said, but then what was it? He said, Lee, it was Jesus Christ. He changed my soul. He forgave my sins. He gave my life meaning. He put love in my heart. He transformed me. It was Jesus and Jesus alone. And I see that. I can't get enough of that. I hugged that man and prayed with him and spent time with him. And you know what? It only made me hungrier to see more examples. And then there was Robert. Robert was the biggest boozer, womanizer, gambler, made millions of dollars in his life. Lost most of it in Las Vegas. One day he had a dispute with a business partner. He got a baseball bat and went to beat him up. Ended up in prison because of that. He was such a narcissist that he owned two jet airplanes. He was that wealthy. One day, he took both airplanes up. This cost like thousands of dollars an hour to operate. He took them both up because he wanted to sit in one and see his name on the tail of the other plane. He was, if you looked up the word narcissist in the Bible or in the dictionary, his picture was there. One day, he was on the beach in Florida and God spoke to him and said, Robert, I have saved you more times than you will ever know. Now it's time for you to come to me through my son, Jesus Christ. And his response was, who? What do you mean, Jesus? I don't know anything about Jesus. So he called a friend and said, what? Jesus, tell me, you're a Christian? And I said, read Case for Christ. So his wife gets him a copy of Case for Christ. He reads it. Anyway, he comes to faith. Hank, probably the biggest transformation of any individual I've ever seen. He and I became friends on the phone because he would call me up with questions and so forth. He confessed so much sin in his life to me that I'm telling you, it just made my hair curl. This guy was a sinner with a capital S, and God changed his heart. He said, I can't do enough for God. He said, the biggest regret I have is I'm toward the end of my life. If I had only come to Christ younger, think of what I could have done. I would have loved serving him and so forth. And he couldn't talk enough about Christ. He went on national television and was baptized. And after he was baptized at this church that was televising its services, the pastor said, anybody else? He threw away his sermon notes. Anybody else want to give their lives to Jesus Christ right now? Having heard his testimony where he just looked at people and said, come to Christ. He will change your life. He will give you meaning. He will give you fulfillment. He'll give you eternal life. And it was such an impassioned plea. And from this guy who's not educated in the scripture, he's just a newly, that five people came forward to be baptized. Then 15, then 20, then 25, then 30, then 50, then 100, then 200. 500 people, Hank, came forward to receive Christ and be baptized. Well, he ended up dying about a year after that. And we, as I said, his biggest regret was he hadn't done enough for Christ. But you know what is on his tombstone? Trust Jesus. And I'll tell you the rest of his name because I think people will recognize it. Robert is Robert Knievel, or Evil Knievel, the motorcycle daredevilist who became famous for trying to jump over the Snake River and doing all these incredible stunts on the motorcycle and was worldwide famous. When a men's magazine came to interview him in the last months of his life, they want to do a story about, hey, this big living He-Man that rides motorcycles and does all these amazing things, this daredevil thing. All he wanted to talk about was Jesus. And the magazine writer, they didn't know what to do with this. So if you read the article they wrote about him, it talks about some of the things in his life. And the last thing, kind of the last part of the article says, and strangest thing, all they wanted to talk about was Jesus. You know, I can't get enough of that. I see addicts transformed into followers of Christ. I see him healed. I see amazing things happening, Hank. And so that's a long answer to your question, which is, you know, how is apologetics, what's its role? I think its role is in furtherance of the gospel. It is to help people who have a spiritual sticking point. I got an issue and I can't get past this until I get an answer that satisfies my heart and soul. It's hanging me up. I just don't get it. Well, let's work together. Let's find an answer. And when they do, they can often get past that sticking point. And when they do and they come to faith, it is the most, it keeps me inspired to say, you know what, I don't know how many years I have left, but whatever years I have left, they're going to be devoted to sharing Christ with others. Because as we were talking about, Hank, privately, can't do that in heaven. So I'm going to be out of a job as an apologist. I'm going to be unemployed in heaven. But you know what? I want to go to heaven knowing I dragged as many people with me as I could.
And you know, when we talked about the Case for Christ Study Bible, investigating the evidence for belief, we can think about this in sort of a narcissistic way as well.
Yeah.
I want this right. Bible for myself, failing to recognize that this is not just an object to purchase, but it becomes a tool by which you can reach other people.
Yeah, exactly.
They have a question. You now have a place to get the answer. Use the answer as a springboard or an opportunity for sharing the grace and love and truth that only Jesus Christ can bring to the human life. But there's something else, too, and I think it's important to underscore. It's not just pre-evangelism where God uses your well-reasoned answer as a springboard or an opportunity for sharing the good news of the gospel, but it's post-evangelism as well, in the sense that all of us as Christians experience those times when the winds and waves of doubt beat upon our house, and then you need a resource that you can go back to so you can recognize afresh, God created the universe, Jesus Christ is God, the Bible is the infallible repository for redemptive revelation, what I have given my life to is dependable.
Yeah.
All of that and more in a resource that you can carry with you, that you can use in witnessing, that you can use to solidify your own faith. It's called The Case for Christ. It's the study Bible, available through the Ministry of the Christian Research Institute. You can order now online at equip.org. It's the best way to get a hold of it in a safe, secure, and very quick fashion. www.equip.org. You can write me at Post Office Box 8500, Charlotte, North Carolina, zip code 28271. And you can also speak to our resource consultants at 888-7000 CRI. When we come back from the break, we'll be taking some of your calls. The number to dial, 888-ASK-HANK, translates to 888-275-4265. Again, we'll be taking your calls right after the break. And do remember that this is a ministry supported by listeners just like you. Without your support, we simply cannot remain on the air. So if you can stand with us prayerfully and financially, it would be deeply appreciated. You can do that as you join the Bible Answer Man monthly support team on the World Wide Web at equip.org. Again, we'll be right back in just a few moments with more of your questions. Please don't touch that dial.
Did Jesus claim to be God? Can we trust the New Testament? Does science point to a creator? In Lee Strobel's The Case for Christ Study Bible, the five primary features titled The Case for the Bible, The Case for Christ, The Case for a Creator, The Case for Faith, and The Verdict will provide you with the information necessary to help you answer these pressing questions and much more. Order the Case for Christ Study Bible or any of Lee's other books or DVDs today by going to equip.org or by calling our resource consultants at 888-7000-CRI. Stay tuned. There's more of the Bible Answer Man broadcast and Lee Strobel coming up. We live in arguably the greatest civilization in the history of the world, and yet we could be looking at its very demise. Four horsemen of this modern-day apocalypse bring plagues that could mean the fall of this civilization. Hank Hanegraaff describes how each of these horsemen could bring down the very society in which we live, and how we as Christians must live in the midst of this 21st century apocalypse in his special message titled, The Four Horsemen of the 21st Century Apocalypse. To equip yourself to live as a change agent for Christ in the culture rather than conforming to it, order your copy of Hank's latest message now on DVD or CD when you call our resource consultants at 888-7000-CRI. That's 888-7000-274. Or go online to equip.org. That's equip.org.
We have assembled for the first time ever some of the great luminaries of the evidence for Christ in the world. These people have been assembled for one purpose, and that is to present the case for Christ to you. And in the end, it's your responsibility, your opportunity to come to your own conclusion in the case for Christ.
Based on Lee Strobel's best-selling book, The Case for Christ is now on DVD. One skeptical journalist.
I thought the idea of an all-powerful creator of the universe was just an absurd idea.
Investigates the most important story in history. Lee Strobel and biblical scholars explore the evidence for the life of Jesus.
Now it would require more faith for me to maintain my atheism than to become a follower of Jesus Christ. Investigate the evidence for yourself.
The Case for Christ. Look for it on DVD.
Order this DVD and the entire Lee Strobel 3-disc film collection by calling 888-7000-274 or online at equip.org. Master the main and plain things of historic Christianity in minutes and remember them for a lifetime. Memorable Keys to Essential Christian Doctrine is a user-friendly guide to doctrines that form the dividing line between the Kingdom of Christ and the Kingdom of the Cults using the hankronym DOCTRINE. D stands for Deity of Christ, O for Original Sin, C for Canon of Scripture, T for Trinity, R for Resurrection, I for Incarnation, N for New Creation, and E for Eschatology. To order Memorable Keys to Essential Christian Doctrine in an accessible, fully laminated, and easy-to-use flip chart that you can use to communicate boldly and confidently with precision and clarity, call 888-7000-CRI. That's 888-7000-274. Or go to www.equip.org. That's equip.org. You're listening to the Bible Answer Man broadcast. Whether you are a Christian seeking encouragement in your faith and knowledge about God, or you're a seeker or skeptic searching for spiritual answers to life's deepest issues, you'll benefit from Lee Strobel's extensive research into Christianity. The articles in the Case for Christ Study Bible will guide you through a fascinating investigation of the Bible's claims, giving you greater confidence in the reliability of the Bible, a renewed enthusiasm for the Scriptures, and teaching you how to apply biblical truth to enjoy a more Christ-centered life. To order your copy of the Case for Christ Study Bible, visit our website at equip.org or call our resource consultants at 888-7000-CRI. We return now to the Bible Answer Man broadcast with Hank Hanegraaff and guest Lee Strobel.
Thank you very much, Randy. Always a pleasure to be in the studio with Lee Strobel, and again, my commendation for an incredible resource, The Case for Christ Study Bible. Once again, you can order on the World Wide Web at equip.org when you write me at Post Office Box 8500, Charlotte, North Carolina, zip code 28271. And when you talk to our resource consultants at 888-7000-CRI, as promised, we'll go right to the phone lines, give you an opportunity to speak directly to Lee Strobel.
as we answer your questions together. Leon in Brooklyn, New York, you're on with Lee Strobel. Hi, Leon.
Yes, hello. Hello, Hank. And Lee, Lee, I was on the edge of my seat screaming at the radio, will you shut up and give us the name of Robert?
<That's>
I'm so shocked that it was Evel Knievel. But yeah. Here's my question, guys. There is a friend of mine who is a believer in Christ, or said she is. You know, recently an issue came up, that she, also reads tarot cards. Now, when I confronted her, about this, here's what her response for what is, I'm paraphrasing. She says, I feel that it's a way of seeking God. And in the Bible, we find instances like where the Magi, they were astrologers. They sought God and found, the Messiah, through the stars. She also gave an example of Daniel being an astronomer. She gave another example of how lots were cast, in the Bible. So these various, there are other ways of leading to God,
I'm going to let Lee answer that question, Leon.
That, particularly through Scripture.
Yeah. I'm going to let Lee answer that question, but the key point here is the difference between bypassing God or going to God for information, and the fact that when you use divination, you're going to get bad information, number one. Number two, you're going to bypass God's plan. God's plan is never to blaze the floodlight down the path of life. If we knew what was going to happen in the future, we wouldn't be able to handle it. Look what happened with the witch of Endor, and Saul found out that he was going to die and his sons were going to die. We don't want to know what's going to happen in the future. God gives us enough light to step into some more light. But Lee, as you well know, the Magi did not use the stars as a means of foretelling the future, but rather forthtelling.
Yeah, exactly. God is not, through scriptures, validating the use of astrology or divination. Certainly it's condemned and is not a valid way of, if you want to seek God, He gave us a Bible. I mean, you got His words here. We've got Jesus' life, His teachings. I mean, if you want to know what God's plan is for your life, I'd say go to Scripture, go to prayer. But when you start going to things like tarot cards, you're going down a road. You don't know what you're tapping into there. But in terms of the Magi in particular, God was not validating astrology there. He was, as Hank just said, they were not using the stars to foretell the future, but to forthtell the arrival. They were pronouncing, the stars were pronouncing the arrival of the Messiah. So it's not a validation of divination or astrology. Even if they were involved with astrology, that's not what was going on here. It was a totally different character. So I'd be very careful of that. I mean, there are ways that we can seek God that are tested, that are biblical, and that's not one of them.
I agree. My question, though, I need ammunition. I need, specific scriptures, for this person, because they're going down what I know is a very dangerous road, and they're trying to justify it, through their understanding of the Bible.
Well, Deuteronomy 18 is a great place to start.
Yeah.
Have them read Deuteronomy 18. And then if you read through the Old Testament in general, this is one of the reasons that Israel ended up being cast out of the very land that was given to them as the land of promise. Mm. God said, if you follow the detestable ways of the pagan nations who are in the land before you, the land is going to vomit you out just as it vomited them out. They went to the diviners and the astrologers. They used divination to try to find out what was going to happen in the future, and they bypassed the very one who created them. So if you look at Deuteronomy 18 in particular, you will see proof positive that God does not want you to bypass Him. And as Lee has correctly told us, We have the infallible repository for redemptive revelation, the Bible. That's where we turn. God has already given us information through the prophets and through the ultimate prophet, Jesus Christ. So we should never bypass that.
Yeah, I would take the time that she's been spending on that and say, spend that time in Scripture. You're going to learn a lot more about God. You're going to learn a lot more about yourself. You're going to learn a lot more about what ultimately matters by spending that time going to a source that has been tested and found to be true. So when you've got Deuteronomy 18, I think it's pretty unambiguous in terms of condemning this sort of thing. I think the weight is definitely on the other side to say, you know, you show me a place where it's endorsed by God. And she can't point to the Magi because that's not astrology. That's not trying to foretell the future through the stars. That the stars, by God's divine plan, was proclaiming the arrival of the Messiah. They were using, frankly, astronomy you know, find the birthplace of the Messiah.
I've written about this in various Leon, I've written about this in various places, including the Bible Answer book, the Complete Bible Answer Book Collector's Edition, also my Christmas book, and there's some information on the case for Christ Study Bible. But as far as casting lots is concerned, you cannot take something that was a practice in a theocratic kingdom and apply it to our kingdom today. We have something that is an infallible repository for redemptive revelation, and that is the very thing that we are told in Scripture to test all things by and hold fast to that which is good. So lots were used in a very specific sense in both a theocratic kingdom, and then there was some use for that up until the time that the canon is complete, but it's not a normative practice for us to use today.
Mm-hmm. Well, thank you for your answer. It's a very informative, guys.
Thanks, Leon, for helping your friend.
I love your books, Lee. I'm an apologist myself. I can't get enough of them.
Well, you know, I think what you're doing, reaching out to a friend who's spiritually confused, good for you. Good for you for getting her some answers and walking her through this, and I pray that she'll be receptive.
Well, thank you very much.
You got it, Leon. Okay. I want to go back to the phone lines, talk to Ben, listening in Calgary, Alberta, Canada. Hi, Ben.
Hi, how are you guys doing?
Hi, Ben.
Hey, Lee, I just want to say thanks a lot for your books. They're just
sure, thanks.
They're just great. But, yeah, listen, I'm just finishing up my university degree here. And,
good.
I'm a religious studies minor,
mm-hmm.
and this prof that I've been in with for the last little while is not outspoken about it, but he's clearly an atheist.
Mm-hmm.
And I've just been having a lot of trouble and trying to sort of absorb some of the lessons he's been giving, and sort of trying to filter it myself, and it's kind of at the point where I'm not quite sure exactly how to give him that respect, you know, like there's sort of this vibe that he gives off, and it's definitely this sort of seems to be this vibe that it's okay to leave the other religions alone, but he's quite outspoken about making fun of Christianity and whatnot.
Yeah.
And I'm not quite sure how exactly to absorb some of the information and lessons he's giving me without sort of compromising some of my own faith.
Yeah, I tell you, Ben, that's an experience shared by a lot of Christians who go off to school and as part of their education they're being taught by a skeptic. I had that happen when I wasn't a believer yet, but at the University of Missouri I took a course from a skeptic teaching about the Gospels. And I walked out of that class saying, can't trust the Gospels. You know, I mean, what did I know? Here's this guy, he's got a PhD, seems to know what he's talking about. You know, he snowed me. I wasn't equipped to be able to get through that. And you have a stronger background now as a believer than I did as a non-believer at that time. But I'd say a couple of things. First of all, you know, we need to respect the office of the teacher, even though we may not respect his beliefs. Even 1 Peter 3:15 says we should be respectful when we engage with people. So I would maintain a respectful attitude. I think what happens sometimes is he'll challenge you or he'll say something and you go, huh, wait a minute, is that right? Wow, that really, and it kind of gets you in that spiritual vertigo I talked about earlier. One of the things I'd say is, give you an analogy somebody gave me once. They said, you know, when you get information from a teacher or something that seems contrary to what you believe, don't automatically, as I don't think you're doing, I hope, say, oh, wait a minute, then then therefore my faith is wrong, the Bible is wrong. And you kind of have to give credence to what we know to be true, what we study, what we've learned, what God, our relationship with God, to stand on that. It was like the analogy a guy gave me. If a friend called up and said, I saw your wife holding hands with another man at the shopping mall yesterday. Right. Well, my first reaction is not going to be, oh my gosh, my wife's cheating on me. I'm not going to throw out my marriage right then and there. Why? Because I've had 37 years of a marriage with my wife. She's always been faithful. She's proved me time after time that she's faithful, and she loves me, and she wouldn't do something like that. And then I find out, oh, her brother was in town for just a couple hours on his way to be deployed in Iraq, and they got together at the mall, and they were just holding hands as they were walking. It turns out to be an innocent thing. But the point is, when you get that, that spiritual vertigo of man, I don't know the answer to that. That's challenging my faith. I think the key thing is to say, wait a minute. I've got this history here. I've tested Scripture. It's proven trustworthy in the past. I have a relationship with God that's real and rich that I can trust and I can depend on. Now, I've got this question, and it's raising some concerns here because I don't know the answer. Now, then do the research and check it out. And there are lots of resources out there to be able to deal with these kind of issues that these skeptics are raising. And you can then satisfy yourself. You may not convince him. He may have his reasons not for believing, and my bet is it's not all intellectual. I know it wasn't in my case when I was an atheist, but at least you can satisfy yourself. You may have to give an answer that he wants on a test to show that you've covered his material, but you can then draw upon your own research to say, you know what, I bet he's not the first guy in 2,000 years to destroy Christianity.
And he has to start with the implausible notion that nothing created everything. We're going to be talking more to Lee over the next hour. We're going to record that and play that on tomorrow's edition of the Bible Answer Man broadcast. We're going to also be taking more of your questions. So if you're hanging on, do be patient. We'll get to you. And if you want to ask a question of Lee or myself in the next hour, the number to dial 888-ASK-HANK translates to 888-275-4265. Do take this opportunity to order the Case for Christ Study Bible. It is an amazing resource no Christian family should be without. You can order on the World Wide Web in a safe, secure fashion at equip.org. And when you talk to our resource consultants at 888-7000 CRI. Again, Lee and I are going to be right here for the next hour. So start calling 888-ASK-HANK. So long for now.
We'd like to thank Lee Strobel for joining us today. And be sure to tune in tomorrow for more of the discussion with the New York Times bestselling author Lee Strobel and Hank Hanegraaff as they dive into the reliability and factual evidence surrounding the Bible. Did Jesus claim to be God? Can we trust the New Testament? Does science point to a creator? Through several features, Lee Strobel's The Case for Christ Study Bible will provide you with the information necessary to help you answer these pressing questions and much more. Order your copy of The Case for Christ Study Bible today, and be sure to check out Lee's other resources as well at equip.org. Or you can talk to one of our resource consultants at 888-7000-CRI. The Bible Answer Man broadcast is a production of the Christian Research Institute.
Want to go back to the phone lines? We'll talk to John listening on KFAX. Hi, John.
Hello, Hank. Thanks for taking my call.
You've always appreciated the thoughtful, biblically based answers you hear from Hank on the Bible Answer Man. Now you can benefit from Hank's input and instruction in your personal quiet times through the Legacy Study Bible. Hank Hanegraaff has assembled what could be the most helpful Bible you've ever read. Each book of the Bible begins with an introduction written by Hank, which means for each book you'll learn its L-E-G-A-C-Y. Or location, essence, genre, author, context, and years. The entire Bible is crafted so that you can document your legacy of faith.
It's like including Hank in your Bible studies.
Order the Legacy Study Bible, edited by Hank Hanegraaff, by calling 888-7000-CRI or online at www.equip.org. Don't forget to ask about the personalized edition. Again, that's equip.org. In Ephesians 5:15-16, Paul admonishes believers to be very careful how you live, making the most of every opportunity because the days are evil. Today, evidence abounds of the growing evil in our modern-day culture.
False teachers and New Age cults continue to seduce millions with their empty promises and false philosophy. Subscribers to the Christian Research Journal know they will regularly receive timely information on the latest religious trends, as well as practical tips on dealing with the challenges to the Christian faith in a fallen world. To defend your faith with passion and precision, you need to subscribe to the Christian Research Journal. To subscribe now, go to www.equip.org. That's equip.org. Or call us at 888-7000-274. That's 888-7000-274. Don't wait. Start your subscription today.